Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Living Life with Pastor Carolyn Henderson of Kingdom Ministries Global Church. This is Pastor Valerie Burrell here to aid her as co-host on tonight. We're grateful to God that Pastor Carolyn is here with us tonight, and we'll be releasing a powerful teaching regarding Ruth from Ruth 1, 17b. May the Lord deal with me. And, Pastor, we're going to turn it over to you with expectation to hear what the Lord has to say. Amen.
Amen. We want to thank you, Pastor Valerie, for being here with us tonight. I'm always most appreciative for your gift and your sharing with us and for just being here for me to just help me push through this season. Amen. We want to thank our listening audience for being here tonight. We ask that the Lord would just bless you indeed, and we pray that he would enlarge your territory. We just have so many things that the Lord is speaking in the kingdom of God in this season. And one of the things that the Lord was dealing with me before this month was the book of Ruth. And so many times we always hear about Boaz, 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 but we really never really sometimes dig deep into the real subject of Naomi and Ruth. So, Father, tonight we just thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing and what you're about to do. I pray that you would deal with me as we speak your word, Lord God, that you would use us for your glory, that none of me would be heard, but it be all of you. Oh, God, speak to us tonight. Give us clarity. Show us your way. Oh, God, help us to walk according to your direction. Most of all, help us to surrender our will and our thoughts and our mouth and our very being to you tonight. We ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. And we say amen. When I looked at chapter 1, Pastor Valerie, of Ruth, it was so many times we talk about Ruth and her husband, Elimelech, and her sons. She had two sons, and them being in Moab. And today, as I begin to read over the notes again, it was saying that they were from Bethlehem, Judea, and Elimelech and Naomi had moved to Moab. You know, sometimes we can make moves and we just really don't understand what the Lord is really doing, but we have to trust him when we make a move and pray that he is guiding our steps. There's a song, I think, that James Cleveland wrote. I'm not positively sure, but it was Order My Steps. I'm not positively sure that it was him, but the song says Order My Steps. And we, in this season, I'm finding it very necessary, important to ask God to order our steps, to order my steps, to order my thoughts, to order the way I speak, to really order the way that I act toward my sisters and brothers, and even those that I may not particularly think they care for me, or I may not care about the way that they act. But I want to be a drawing post. I want to have the kind of spirit that will draw people no matter how I feel, that I would just not surrender to my flesh, but surrender to the Spirit of God that is so present in our earth realm and in us. And when I looked at this, Pastor Valerie said that Naomi's husband, Elimelech, died in verse 3, and she was left with her two sons. Many of us that don't understand, according to, if I'm not mistaken, the Western culture, when the father, the breadwinner, died, the sons would take care of the mother, especially would be the oldest son's responsibility to take care of his mother. We find that Naomi had become comfortable because she had two sons, and these two sons married two women from Moab. And we find out that sooner or later, the sons die. You know, it can be quite earth moving when our source of income, what we think is a steady foundation, becomes very shaky, when things shift and we really don't understand how or what we're going to do. And here we find in the first chapter of Ruth that Naomi is finding herself in a position that her husband has died. Now her sons have died, and she's left here in Moab with two daughters-in-law. And I would say it didn't ever say that Naomi worked, no source of income, no husband. And then to top it off, it says that there was a famine in Moab. Some of us are dealing with some famines in our life. The enemy has attacked and continues to bombard us with stuff that makes us feel that we are thirsty or hungry. So many of the saints are crying out to the Lord because there's so much going on in the earth realm. We look at the incident that happened in Florida. We looked at incidents that happened with the plane that disappeared or that crashed. We look at the incident of children being snatched off of the street while walking home. We look at the incident of husbands walking away from their wives and wives walking away from their husbands and parents walking away from their children. And we can become overwhelmed with challenge and test. And I just want to say, I would just want to encourage those that are listening tonight to not to let your test or your challenge overwhelm you, overcome you. Sometimes when things happen, the enemy wants to make us look back, and he doesn't want us to progress in God. He doesn't want us to mature and to move forward. So I would tell you, first of all, don't let the enemy make you look back. Don't allow him the opportunity to start pitying yourself, because this is what is happening to Naomi in this chapter. She's really feeling sorry for herself, In verse 8, she tells her two daughter-in-laws to go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. So many times we're trying to, if I could use the term, we're trying to prophesy ourselves out of a place of maturing, a place of change, a place of shift, a place of transition. And here she's encouraging her daughters-in-law to go back home. And when she continues to encourage them, it says that she kissed them goodbye and wept aloud and said, we will go back with you to your people. This is what her daughters-in-law are saying to her. We will go with you to your people. I had to ask myself, Pastor Valerie, and to those that are listening, the way that I live, the way that I walk, that I talk, how I respond in this season, would someone want to follow me back home to the Lord? Would they want to be in his presence? Would they really want to give up what they have, what they think they have, to be with God, to do the work of the ministry, to have to go through stuff, to have to go through the challenges and the tests, but to know that God is pleased with you? And so many times people are saying one thing, but their hearts are really saying something else. And I can tell you, in this season, you ask your heart some pretty strong questions. I think I posted not too long ago that I asked the Lord, why me? And he said, why not you?
Why not? Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, what am I supposed to do? And he said, follow me. And mm-hmm. I think that sometimes we can get to a point where we forget that he's really in control. And that no matter what the enemy bombards you with, either it's a stepping stone or a stumbling stone. It can be a stepping stone in the sense that God will allow you to go through this and come out on the other side of it and have matured and get clarity and wisdom from it, and or it can cause you to stumble because you think that you have arrived, to only find that you have not arrived, and that we're going to have to repeat some things over again, especially when we fall into the self-pity. Why is this always happening to me? Why is it that I can never get ahead? Why does it always seem like I'm going forward and backwards instead of forward? Because I can say that I've said those things myself. So here we are. Naomi is trying to make these two girls go back home to their mothers because basically she feels that, in other words, if you read the scripture, it says that in a sense Naomi felt like she was cursed. She said her name had been changed to Mara because she felt that the Lord was bitter with her. Many times when we're going through challenges and tests, it's not that the Lord is bitter with us. He's just trying to make us better. And we become bitter because we want the easy way. When some of the things that God has for us will take sacrifice, it will take having the Lord to deal with you in a manner that you might not be so comfortable with. As we said on yesterday, it's just like a pitcher with a ball. He has to become conscious of the ball in his hand. He has to know how to handle that ball. He has to know how to place his hands on that ball. And sometimes God has to handle us just like a pitcher handles a ball. He has to, we have to realize that we are in the palm of his hand, but his fingers guide us. The fingers of wisdom, the fingers of faith, the fingers of obedience, the finger of trust and truth, and being strong in the Lord. We say this, but we say we want to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But when God really starts to purge us, purging can be very painful. But purging is necessary because we've come here with a carnal nature, and we're contaminated from the very start. So in order to remove the infestation, old people used to say you got to clean the wound out. I like to think that our spirit man has been wounded from the very beginning with the spirit of the enemy. And there's a lot of the world that exists in our lives that we are really not conscious. Even after we profess salvation, we find that we still, the old Carolyn comes. She wants to talk. She wants to be in control. And sometimes when we can't get our way, we want everybody to join in with the woe is me. But here's Naomi. She's telling them to go back. And then up steps Ruth. Orpah decides to go home. She makes up her mind to go. Sometimes people have to leave. They just can't stay. It's not in God's divine plan for some folk to stay. But I think in this season we have to really understand that this is a season of release. And as Elder Benny has said, reset. We have to allow the spirit of release to take place, and we have to allow the spirit of reset to have dominion. Because if we allow the spirit of reset, which is God, to have dominance, he'll shift us and turn us to the exact position on the exact course that he desires for us to be on. And sometimes it doesn't feel good, and I'm a witness that sometimes you just go like, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, Pastor Valerie, but sometimes you feel like you're walking in the blind. You have no clue where you're headed, but you know that you're walking, and it's uncomfortable. It's a nervous place. You feel not so safe because we are so used to being in control. But when God is in control, you don't have your feeling of safety. When we should feel the most safe, because we should know that he has everything in control.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a part of that flesh nature that we have, the spirit of control. And we understand that the spirit of control and manipulation are tools of the enemy. And I found when I looked at this word, Naomi, in a sense, was trying to, if you would look at it from a different point of view, she was trying to speak in a controlling and manipulating way to make them go, to leave
mm-hmm.
her. She didn't want them to go with her. She wanted to go by herself. She wanted to feel sorry for herself. But here is Ruth, who would not allow herself to hear that spirit that was trying to speak through Naomi. But she said, I will go with you. And she said, wherever you go, in other words, I'll go. And whatever you do, I'm going to do that. Your God, I'm going to serve your God,
mm-hmm.
and your people are going to become my people.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, Pastor Valerie, so many times when God really sends us someone that's really genuine, or maybe I should use the word genuine, or really sent to us by God to kind of steer us, to keep us on course. We say, what is this? Who are you? I mean, what are you looking for? And I'm sure, Naomi, like any of us today, we would ask, the main question is, what are you looking for out of this?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be here to really help me weather the storm? And what had happened was that she had been such a blessing to these two girls. God was trying to let her know, now I'm getting ready to bless you. We go through storms when God's getting ready to bless us sometimes, and we don't understand that the least person that we expect will be the person that will be the blessing. And
Amen.
So we have to be very careful how we handle people, how we speak to people. And that's basically what I was sharing last week. We get so accustomed to being so holy, so righteous, that it's a place that God is trying to get us out of, with our flesh to come in with the spirit. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what we look like. It doesn't matter to me whether you can speak in tongues or whether you can dance. The thing that really matters is, do you really love him
mm-hmm.
enough to do what he says? I can preach till I turn blue in the face. I can sing and prophesy and jump till I turn blue in the face. But if what I've done has not caused a person to make a significant commitment to God, not to me, and that's the problem. We want people to commit to us instead of committing to God.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's where we get in that gray area, because it's really, really not about me. It really is not. It's really about the Lord and how many people will do kingdom work because of God, the God they see in me that's willing and able to release and to allow them to walk and allow them to go forward. I'm learning in daily, we have to learn that so many times that our trust factor is way off.
Mm-hmm.
We trust what we can see. We trust what we can touch or what we know. And that can be kind of shady, because for me now, trust is really believing God has it, and I have to believe that he has it, and I must go on and do what he says and still walk and trust him to make my steps sure.
Amen.
Like Elder Bennett said, the GPS. And, you know, GPS can sometimes get you off course.
It sure can.
It can get you off, and I call it God's protective service, But sometimes the GPS can really kind of take you off course. But sooner or later, if you just allow God to lead you, he'll bring you back on course. You know, you might have to have 2-3 GPS going in one car, and one of them will pull you back on course. I believe in this season, if we really listen to the Spirit of God, we'll lose some of this foul speaking and attitudes and who's supposed to sit up the front and who's supposed to sit at the back and all of this foolishness, because at the end of the day, what does God see in your heart? That's why I say, may the Lord deal with me. I don't need for him to deal with nobody else for me. I want him to deal with me. I want to know. I want to understand. I want to trust God like I've never trusted him before. And it said in that verse, it said, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me, I would want him to deal with me so that I would make sure if even I leave and you stay, that you will be on sure, firm ground without anything moving you, because you could see the real Christ, not the partial, but the real Christ. And that let you know that God has to be trusted. And in order to trust him, we have to learn how to trust one another.
Amen. 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 I listened to you, Pastor, with this teaching about may the Lord deal with me, and I'm reminded of even what God was speaking to us yesterday when we did the broadcast, and he was letting us know that deliverance is available. And you might say, well, what does that have to do with the Lord dealing with me? As you said, you know, there's nothing that we can encounter, and especially in this season, it's pertinent that our discernment be on top-notch scale, that we're able to recognize the authenticity of the people that are approaching us, often because they have hidden agendas and because they want the notoriety, or because they recognize what God is doing in you. They're not going to want to tell you that they recognize it, but they recognize what God is doing in you and through you. And when I look at this story with Ruth and Naomi, it is that Ruth was like, what's taking place? Well, you know, what's going on? And Naomi's like, wait a minute, I recognize something. I recognize something. I can't go anywhere because I recognize that there's something that you have that I need. And I think it's in that place that when we begin to put our flesh under subjection and really get up daily, dying to the flesh and asking the Holy Spirit that dwells within to take charge and move us into the places that God could be glorified in the earth through us. And then, God, if there is something in me that's a little twisted, because we do, we all got some stuff. God was like, look, I have the ability to deliver you from whatever it is you're facing right now, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're thinking. If you would just submit to me and go according to my plan, I can deliver you and know that there is a blessing waiting for you if you would just follow my plan.
Absolutely. And I heard you say something that's so significant. If we would put ourselves, we have to put ourselves. And so many times we think that we are above putting ourselves. And that's where this really came from with me, Pastor, was when I asked the Lord to deal with me. I put myself in the hands of a potter. And if he has to break me to remold me again, I'm at the point now in ministry, in life, whatever he needs to do, I need for him to do it. I do not want to operate out of the will of God, calling it right when it's not right, and really nobody's getting delivered from it, including me. Because at the end of the day, somebody needs to be delivered. And especially if you're the person that's leading and you can't be delivered, you cannot lead people where you're not going.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
If we're not walking it, we can't make somebody else walk it. If we're not living it, we can't make somebody else live in it. Because basically, I've heard you say, we're just fronting. We're just being phony. And this is why a whole lot of us, and I say us, but a whole lot of me is still saying, may the Lord deal with me and be ever so severely. Whatever it takes, I'm too old for this. It's too late in the game. People are dying in the 50s. Okay. We call bulk purchase. They are dying in bulks. The enemy attacks now, he's not attacking one or two. He's not taking out one or two. He's taking them in bulks. So what is it that we can do? If the kingdom is going to be turned around, it's got to first be turned around with us.
Amen. Amen.
The competition, the jealousy, I used the term yesterday, I am not the grand poopah. Okay. I don't have all. I am not perfect. I have stuff.
Yes.
And stuff that God has gotten some SOS soap pads out, and he's scouring at it. He's scrubbing it. He's scrubbing off all of the stuff that has, what did the scripture say? What has separated me from the love of God? He's scratching and scraping all of that stuff that's separating me from the real presence of the Lord. Because I'm telling you, I believe there's a presence that we have not experienced yet.
Amen. Amen.
I believe that there's a glory that we have not experienced yet. And I believe that this oil that's flowing is going to bring about such a change that even those that say they don't want God will come to him. Because it'll be such a thirst for him. Once they see us, because people on the outside see the church as just a bunch of raging wolves. We're at each other's throats. If you don't do what I do, we don't bother you. And if you don't have this many, I won't come to you. We need to really ask the Lord to deal with us. And that's what I'm doing as a leader, asking the Lord to deal with me. And even on yesterday, I was reminded to let this be with me, to be on my lips throughout the rest of this year. Let the Lord deal with me, even so severely.
Amen. 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 Amen.
So I hope tonight something has helped. I'm still in the process. I'm still in the making mode. I'm still being worked on. So when he tells me turn left, there might not be a light. I might not even see a door, but I just have to trust him and turn left.
Yeah, amen, amen.
That's what you really call walking by faith, when you just can't see it, but you're willing to obey his voice no matter what.
Absolutely.
And I just want to be trained so I can hear the right voice, the real God voice. And not my own voice. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Oh, God, that was good. That was good. That was good.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. Listen, again, I know that teaching has been, is a blessing to me, as we pray that it has been for you as well. We ask it. That if you enjoy hearing the teachings from Pastor Carolyn Henderson, tell your friends about the broadcast. You can go to the archives and listen to some of the past podcast shows. We know that they will be a blessing and help you to live your best life for Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to thank you, Pastor Valerie. We want to thank our listeners for listening in tonight. And we pray that the Lord will bless you to live life in God. Amen. As we follow him, that you might follow us. Amen. Love you, Pastor Valerie.
Love you, too. God bless you all. Until next
God bless you. Good night.